Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining me to start the show is, I'm going to call you a humanitarian. Sean Reed is a humanitarian. He's a man who's got his pulse all over DFW through his activities, his leadership through the NAACP, the Urban League, working directly with the Dallas Mavericks, Mavs Take Action, community outreach programs, and much, much more. Sean, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great, Chris. I'm doing great. How are you?
Can I brag on you before we get started? I mean, this is what's so wild. You probably don't reflect on the stuff that you do. And again, you're not even 40 years old yet. This is what's so amazing about what you do. You're everywhere, actively engaged in, as a community active advocate and educator, diverse set of experiences, engaging in advocacy for students and their families. Grew up here in Dallas. In fact, PG and Oak Cliff. You've done so many things, whether it's voter registration efforts in Dallas, civic engagement, a chair for the DFW Urban League Young Professionals, Texas Organizing Project, Dallas Kids First Campaign Management, Pub Policy Fellowship, Color of Change, the Dallas Police Department Community Advisory Board, Prairie View A&M, Dallas County 4-H Youth Development Committee, the NAACP Freedom Fighter of the Year Award, proud graduate of Sam Houston State and with a degree in a BBH, Human Resources Management and Business. Sean, when do you sleep? You're everywhere.
Chris, you did the research. I'm like, I didn't send you any of this.
I know.
You did some digging. But, I get a few hours of sleep. I'm up late. Up early as well. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing mission aligned work and you're passionate about it, the work that I do truly energizes me. So it gives me energy, and I'm surrounded by great people who also make the load easier, and everything is kind of in alignment. Mm-hmm. So also, you know, when you're in alignment to what God has called you to do and doing that work, it doesn't, you know, take you off your game. Everything just kind of goes together. Like, you can be at one place, but representing three different organizations at the same time, because all the work is in alignment.
It really is. And again, you've been doing this. How old are you? Because you're not 40.
No, I'm 33.
See, that's what's so amazing. You look like you're 20. I mean, this. I'm like, wait. How do you do all these things? First of all, when did
now,
you
the
start?
The bags are coming.
That's why I was asking about the sleep. You got to have that sleep to have the energy exactly. To do all these different things. So with that being said, how old were you when you said, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to help people. I want to engage the communities and empower them for the betterment of their communities. And again, it's not just underserved communities, you're just everywhere in all different levels. How old were you when you started, and what was the vision back then?
Man, I think it goes back to high school or even before high school. Like in middle school, early high school, I knew that I wanted to help people. And throughout high school and college, it was just figuring out how exactly I would like to be of help to people. What are my skill sets? What are my passions? What direction I'm going to take? But I feel like that it kind of just stemmed from growing up in Pleasant Grove and Oak Cliff and being in an under-resourced community, but a community that was just so strong and everybody looked out for one another. And I could only imagine how much better everybody's life would be if everyone had the generally, you know, same amount of knowledge and same amount of resources, the same amount of help and things of that nature. So my mom, my grandma, my aunt just instilled to me the value of helping people get up and doing what you can to help. And they kind of just stuck with me. So in high school, I did the general high school stuff, you know, student council, class president, that kind of thing. But then in college, I got involved with NAACP. And it was right around the time where Trayvon Martin was murdered. And I remember going to a vigil on campus and talking to some people who hosted it, went to a meeting. And then before you know it, Chris, I just got super involved in NAACP. Like I start volunteering with them. I end up, you know, running for a position. And then every year I just went higher and higher within the organization. So that was kind of my start. On top of that, I think I did so many organizations in college, you know, that may have interfered a little bit with my grades, but the organizations and the service is kind of what kept me in school because I had a lot of life going on. But again, like that giving back is like what energized me, kept me in school, kept me positive and all the things. And that was kind of my start.
So that was the spark that lit the flame. And again, you've been running ever since. When I say running, I mean, you're so, I don't know how to explain this, but you're so magnanimous with your time that you're doing so many different things. Let's take off from when you graduated from college. How did you know, okay, I got to make ends meet, but my passion is helping others? How did you figure out where to go from there?
Right. And I graduated with a degree in human resource management and sociology. And I wanted to get into HR for the main reason of helping people to get jobs through recruitment, but also I always love training and development. So once they get the job, how do I ensure that they are learning on the job and becoming the best person and worker they can be? So that was my goal originally. And everything else that I did was at a volunteer capacity. It was like, you know, I'm being fulfilled at work, I'm going home and being fulfilled outside of work. But then I discovered that there's like careers and opportunities to make money doing social impact type of work and civic engagement type of work as well. So I start to align myself with like those type of opportunities. And sometimes I really think that I was just doing the work, and from doing the work, the opportunities just presented itself. So that's kind of what happened.
Right.
I started in HR. I wasn't having as much of an impact as I wanted to have in HR at the company I was working at. So then I started teaching, and teaching was great. It was an absolutely amazing experience. I started a mentorship organization at the school I was teaching at.
What was the school?
Changed a lot of lives. Garcia Middle School in DISD.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Marcellus in 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I talk to kids, I always say the difference between a job and a career, a job, you're just getting paid. A career is your passion. And the money will come. And that doesn't have to be, you know, millions and millions of dollars. Although if you're very successful, that could happen. You know, educators are not paid enough. They're just not, you know. But they're doing it out of their love, their passion for what they do. They are inspired by helping kids learn and be educated and the growth. That's their heart. And that's how you can wind up doing things more. In other words, it's not just a job. It's something that you really, really enjoy. So you realize there was a pathway to make ends meet while you did your passion, right?
Absolutely. And like I tell people that all the time, Chris, there's certain jobs that aren't just jobs, and you have to have the right heart posture to be in these jobs. Like it's truly about humanity helping people, serving people, helping people grow. And when it comes to a job as an educator, those are one of those type of things. Social impact, civic engagement, policy, those are those types of roles that are bigger than the job. It's about the work that you do while you're in the job. So, yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about how, again, I keep repeating myself saying that your fingerprints are on so many different activities. We're going to catch up to what you're doing now because, I mean, it's amazing what you're doing now as well. But the thing that you've done along the way basically prepared you for what you're doing now, right? So can you talk about, you know, not bouncing from here to there, but how one thing led to another?
Absolutely. So, again, while I was teaching, I was still volunteering with the Urban League, and I was their civic engagement chair. So I've been with the Urban League since about 2016, and then starting in 2017, I got involved in leadership, and I moved from civic engagement chair to equity officer to president, all in the span of 2017 to 2024. I just wrapped up with my last term. So I got a lot of experience through that organization. Also was involved in NAACP, was the co-advisor for the Texas Youth and College Division. But then I did like a lot of fellowships too, where I really wanted to, you know, learn the community of Dallas, learn the issues, learn the players and people who were working towards the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know what's going on and what's being done, how can you really help?
Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, just by doing that and having the right heart posture, not trying to take over and do stuff for clout and for attention, but really trying to impact lives and change systems systemically, opportunities, like you said, just presented itself. And one of the things I wanted to say earlier when you asked the question, when I was teaching, I kind of ran into issues with the disciplinary system.
Mm-hmm.
And not for myself, but for my students. And being a Black man teaching in Dallas ISD at a predominantly Hispanic school where I had less than 10% Black kids, and I saw how, you know, how those Black and brown kids were being expelled and disciplined at these alarming rates.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't sit right with me. And I felt that, you know, I could do more outside of the system because the education system, unfortunately, just has some broken things that needs to be fixed with like systemic change, which is through policy change.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just limits on what I can do. So like after education, I did a stint in like local politics and I worked for like some campaigns and did some work with that. And then from there, I went to the nonprofit route and did some work with United Way. And all of these things, just like you said, just opened itself to itself. Like I remember praying and fasting and asking God to put me in a little alignment and to, you know, take me to a different position, all the different things. And it just kind of happened for me. And I don't take that for granted because I know it just didn't happen. Like you have to do the work to get these opportunities in front of you. But like it felt so easy. And that's how I always knew that, you know, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing because it was no pull. Like it wasn't as much of a challenge. And that's because I did the work on the front end. And a lot of people, they don't see
right. The
front end work. They just see, you know, you getting the awards, you getting the positions, and they say, you know, things aren't going to come easy, but they don't know all of the work and long nights and early mornings that you put in before you even got there. So, if you're just in the right place and you're doing the work for the right reasons, I think opportunities are going to come. You just
exactly.
got to be patient.
Exactly. You got to be patient, and you got, like you said, you if you're prepared, you're prepared mm-hmm. for the opportunity. In other words, you can recognize an opportunity because you've been prepared. It wasn't pure luck. It wasn't like, oh, I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. No,
mm-hmm. You
recognize the opportunity because you were prepared for that moment. And also, I'm just going to say, this is probably the way you probably feel about it too. You had a purpose-driven life. In other
right.
words, because this is your passion, you're able to put in the longer hours or the extra work because it's not really like work. And
mm-hmm. It's
kind of like for athletes. Athletes say, oh, practice. I practice hard. Well, practice is not
right. Hard
work for them. It just prepares them for the game, and they love what they do, so they can put all that extra energy in there.
And you know, Chris, you say purpose-driven life. And you know, sometimes when you're a kid, you don't know the stuff that's being like bestowed into you until you become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying that makes me think about, like, I grew up around my grandma a lot, and my grandma would go to church and go to Bible study. Mm-hmm. And one of the books they were reading was The Purpose-Driven Life.
Okay.
And it had a purple little flower on it. I remember it. But, you know, sometimes you think you're not paying attention. You're actually, you know, soaking all that information in. So who knows? Maybe that had an impact on my trajectory and things like that. So that just made me think of, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Your grandma probably said you was raised the right way.
Yeah.
You had some good people in your life to help guide you. Mm-hmm. And so
still do.
And still do. And that's the thing. You recognize that. Let's go back to what you work with a lot of, you know, young people in, between the ages of probably 16 all the way through 30. I mean, you work with a lot of young people. So a lot of them know, you know, nowadays, it's okay. It's networking. It's who you know. And that's part of it. But you also, like you said, that allows you to work through the system and actually affect changes. Is that when you, did you learn that early or did you learn that, you know, it took time and time and time and time?
I couldn't say I necessarily learned it early, but sometimes when you're in the spaces, you just pick up on things.
Right.
And you also can learn by watching too when you don't know. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know because this world was, or this space is something that I wasn't necessarily exposed to in the professional sense. So just by putting myself in those rooms and seeing how, you know, other people moved and not only moved, but like influence changed and used their proximity to power or influence to do some good stuff, you know, it shows you, you know, this is how I can do it. And I think a lot of people, the millennial generation is super different from the Gen Z generation. And like you said, I work with like a lot of youth now, and I'm learning that the Gen Z generation, like they need help in that in that networking portion because they think that
holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You know, things just happen quickly and they expect just everything to move so fast, and it just doesn't work like that. And they want, you know, and not to get on a tangent, but they want older people to get out of the way instead of figuring out what can I learn and get from this older person who is more seasoned and tenured in this space so that I don't repeat the same things that they have done. And so I know the history of like how we even got here. Like I remember my first kind of mentor coming out of college. And one of the things I did, Chris, is when I came out of college, I knew I wanted to do community impact work. I knew I wanted to do civic engagement. So I reached out to those people who were running for city council and city council people. And I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm looking to volunteer. You know, how can I help? And the first person who reached out, which was the best person, he became my mentor. His name's Casey Thomas. Mm-hmm. He was city council person for District 3.
That's right. He's my fraternity brother, too.
Yeah. Yeah. My grandma stayed in District 3. He went to Skyline. I went to Skyline. He was an NAACP president. I was an NAACP president. So it all worked out.
Nice.
But my point is, I reached out to him and asked him how I could help. And I was just around soaking in information. And I also have a good relationship with Senator West. I did his MHA Conrad program. But like, I'm soaking in information. But it took 2 years for me to even ask Casey for an appointment to something. Because, you know, you don't want to come off as, what's the word? You know, you want it to be mutually beneficial. You want to
right.
come off as like, I only want this. And
right.
I think a lot of people don't
You don't
want
to come off selfishly. Yeah.
Right, right. Like, you have to build the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, like, kind of show your body of work. And then you ask for the opportunities. And half the times, you don't even have to ask. It's already done as soon as you present that there's something that you have capacity for.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what I did back
then. Exactly.
In the
they were able to see what you could do, and mm-hmm. that kind of showed them that you were able to handle the responsibility. And I'm glad you brought up about Gen Z, because they're not millennials and they're not Gen X. They're completely different. And because you engage with them all of the time, you recognize the influence that social media has on them, or the fact that they're looking for, in this day and age of instant gratification, that's what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. Things just happen immediately, or if it doesn't happen immediately, it's not going to happen. And that's not the way things work. So
right.
I'd love for you, if you got a chance here, to take the time to explain how you navigate passing along the wisdom. And I say wisdom because a lot of Gen Z gets the knowledge online. And therefore, they think they know everything to do, but they don't
right.
know. Wisdom means you know how to apply that knowledge. So can you talk about how you navigate those things? Because you have to have some patience, because they look mm-hmm. at you and they think you're the same age they are.
Right.
And you speak the language they speak, you know, 6767. I'm going on the list, right? You know exactly
yeah.
how to say the things that get their attention. And then you have to remind them about being patient.
Right. Right. And you absolutely right, because I'm blessed to look youthful. I do look closer in age. And that's a benefit, because
it really
the
is.
Closer in age you look, the more relatable you are to them. They don't feel as much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But also I have a lot more experience.
Right.
As well, but I'm super patient. Like yesterday I did I taught my little cousin. I did his first driving lesson class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, super patient with him, teaching him, but also giving him space to do as well. I think that's the same kind of approach I take with Gen Z, where, you know, you have some learners who could listen, they're auditory and they can listen. You got some who are visual. I'm learning, like with a lot of Gen Z folks, they need to do, you have to give them the information, you have to give them an assignment to do. And they, you know, they tend to learn by experience, and we can download, okay, you got this information, you did this. Okay, what did you learn from this? What did you take away? What were the victories? What were the opportunities? And I try to have those kind of types of conversations. And I have to do it in a way where it's accountability, but it's not scolding.
Right.
Because
that's surgery.
I think a lot of people,
that is surgical mm-hmm. skills, man.
I'm telling you, and it's hard. And that's why in 2020, Chris, I have a public affairs kind of firm, a civic engagement mm-hmm. firm, helping nonprofits and candidates kind of get more into the community. So I started that in 2019. So in 2020 and 2021, before I got to the Mavs, I did two cohorts for Gen Z folks,
mm-hmm.
For people between the ages of 21 and I think like 26 or so. And the reason why I chose that age is because, one, it's a different generation, but two, there are a lot of fellowships and programs out here in Dallas, but a lot of times you have to be 25 to apply for them. And
right.
then when you do apply, you're competing with people who are 30 and 35. So like, you know, your resume doesn't always, you know, serve or live up to, like, the very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give people an opportunity to get some basis of information and give them, you know, a space to grow, something that was accessible for young people, because everyone's not going to have the journey that I had where, you know, I'm talking about you graduate in May and by June, you know, you're out working with the city council person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody's not going to be that type of person. So I wanted to create something like that. And that's what I did. I called it the Young Civic Empowerment Program. And again, it was for folks who are 21 to about 26 or so, that super young adult, fresh out of college. And I wanted to grab them because I feel if you don't get those young people when they're out of college or hitting that age, and they get to working and they lose that nick or knack to, mm-hmm. to serve and give back,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get engulfed with life, you start families, you know, you get married, all the things. So we got to tap on that early before they tap out and lose their passion. And the whole point of the program was to provide them with information and history about Dallas. What mm-hmm. are the issues? How do we get here? Two, to help them grow as leaders. So we did leadership personality assessments. What are my strengths as a leader? What type of leader I am? And then three, we connected them with opportunities. How can I serve? A lot of times people only see the long-term goal. And unfortunately, Gen Z, they'll see the big goal, but they don't make it long-term. They say, I can do this now. And yes, some people can do it now, but you also need to have a progression just in case it doesn't happen now. Like, what are you doing to build up to this? So for those who wanted to be elected officials, I gave them three different paths. Like, you need to sit on a nonprofit board,
mm-hmm.
you know, city council or the city of Dallas has boards and commissions. Sit on a board or commission, become a precinct chair in your mm-hmm. community, which is registering voters and making sure they have information to get out to vote. Let me see, precinct chair, board or commission. Oh, and at the very minimum, you can be election day judge. So one of the things we did is election judges or election sites were closing down because they didn't have enough people to work them.
Okay.
And, you know, so we did a campaign where mm-hmm. everyone in our program became an election day judge, and they got other young people to be election day judges. And that was the premise of the program. It was a
and they learned the power of the vote.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They learned the power of the vote. They learned about issues. They learned about their professional development, and they learned about the history of Dallas. So now when I look back on some of the people who did that in 2020 and 2021, that means now, like, they are speaking on panels and they're kind of on their way. So I can't wait until I see the first person from that program, you know, become that elected official or become that executive director of the organization.
Man, so, yeah. You are just so impressive. I just stay proud of you. You are a true, we're talking to Sean Reed. He's a true public servant, again, advocate and engaged community advocate, educator. You got so many different things that you're involved with. Let's talk about how the Dallas Mavericks found you. Because that was, what, 6-7 years ago?
No, it was only 5.
Wow, you do so much. It seemed like you've been around that long.
Yeah, we just hit the ground running.
I mean, you hit the ground running. How did you, because again, for those who don't know, Sean is the director of corporate social engagement. He's also the director of the Mavs Take Action. And of course, the very popular Mavs Business Assist Program for small businesses. It's almost like a Shark Tank competition. And Mark Cuban has been involved with that as well. But again, your fingerprints are on so many things. How did the Mavericks find you? Because you're the perfect fit.
Man, it was an amazing opportunity. And it was a dream role that I didn't know was a dream role. Like, I didn't know the Mavs did this type of work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was one of those situations. I was working at a nonprofit, and somebody, he doesn't like when I tell him, but I like to shout him out. He was on the Dallas Mavericks Advisory Council. And his name's Byron Sanders.
Oh, yeah. So, Big Thought.
Yeah.
He started Big Thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now he's a school board trustee.
Exactly.
You know, at the advisory council, they meet quarterly and they give updates and things. And Mavs Take Action was created immediately after the death and murder of George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
But the leader of that team had been vacant. They hadn't found the right fit to truly
maximize
what it needs to do.
Yes.
Yeah, in the community. You know, writing checks were great and making commitments were great, but they needed someone with community relationships
mm-hmm.
and who could really build out the program, the programmatic pieces. So essentially, he told me, hey, this has been open for X amount of months. I think you'd be a good fit. You should apply. And I originally told him no. I was like, you know, I've only been in my job for X amount of months. I'm not trying to hop around and leave. I'm trying to have an impact here. Mm-hmm. And he just opened my eyes into, well, what if you can have that impact there and it could be greater? And how, you know, these, you're so much, and not to say this in a bad way, but sometimes you're bigger than, your mission is bigger than the organization.
Right.
The organization is just your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know,
it's just that platform. This, yeah. It's about platforms.
And he told me, you know, and then I also start to think about it. Well, let me just apply, because I could apply and, you know, not even get the job.
Sure.
So let me at least see what's going
but
on.
But at least you make that connection.
Exactly.
The minimum.
So I went through the interview process, Chris, and I knew when I talked to the CEO at the time, Sint Marshall, for the final Sint interview, the great Sint Marshall, that this was the place for me. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to see what it feels like to work under a leader like this and also grow, but also be given the canvas and trust to create and do. And like one of the things that I missed in my professional space in my nonprofit was the ability to strategize. Like, you know, a lot of the programs that I was managing were already created, mm-hmm. but in this role, I was able to create and present what I wanted the organization to do, opposed to the organization, you know, kind of telling me what they want me to do and me doing it. So that's kind of how I got to the Dallas Mavs. And when I got there, we hit the ground running. Like we were in a time where we were in the pandemic, but things were starting to open up and things of that nature. So one of my first things was the huddle. Mm-hmm. And the huddle was always done on Zoom because it was the pandemic.
Right.
So I took the huddle. Oh, and let me share. So the huddle is our Courageous Conversation series. And essentially, when George Floyd was first murdered, we had a courageous conversation on the plaza of the AAC. And we brought together all the different community leaders in these different spaces of community. And then from there, we launched Mavs Take Action. But not only that, we said we're going to have these courageous conversations about each of these issues. It's mm-hmm. civic engagement, housing, homelessness, food mm-hmm. insecurity, education, you name it. So I took those conversations, me and my team, we took those conversations from virtual on Zoom to figure out how do we get some engagement. So what we started to do is we started to record in studios and start to do watch parties so communities can come to watch parties. Mm-hmm. We start to have in-person huddle panel conversations and record that, but also release it on the website as well. So if you're not in the room, you can go back to listen. And now, you know, it's kind of like a docuseries now. And this is a 3-time Emmy Award nominated docuseries.
Yes.
And we've had players, we've had elected officials, dignitaries, mm-hmm. we had all these different community leaders. But not only that, the most impactful part of it is that we're using our platform to shed a light on issues that some people may not know about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, introducing these things to our players. And there's been several situations where a player did a huddle and he got connected with the organization and started, you know, supporting that organization and, you know,
exactly.
got involved in supporting their own organization.
Exactly. So time, talent, and treasure.
Amazing.
Yep. And in fact, I want to highlight a couple of those for your docuseries, because I'm really, really proud of you on these, you and your team. The one at the Holocaust Museum and the one
yes.
with the water insecurity in a yes. little small town in Dallas County. Can you talk about those just for a little bit?
Absolutely. So last season, two of our huddles, one was Together for Water.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially that huddle was centered about two things. One, Texas is in a water crisis. And they say within 20 to 30 years, if something's not done now, Texas could be at risk of running out of water. So that's the big issue that we're having that people don't know about, unless you're like a super advocacy hunk and you're at Austin and you know a state representative mm-hmm. or whatever the case is, you don't know. But people can't even imagine, what do you mean we're at a water crisis? We're going to run out of water. And people can't fathom that because they can't, you know, when you're privileged, you can't just imagine a world without water.
Right.
So then we took them to a community that's about, I would say 10, no more than 15 miles of like downtown Dallas.
Yeah.
In southeast kind of Dallas
right.
County called Sand Branch, which mm-hmm. is a freedman's town. And they've been without water for decades.
Yes.
And
it makes no sense.
No sense. But we brought attention to that issue, brought light to that issue. And whenever we do these conversations, I never want to be the big organization who just shows up and talk about it, but we don't do anything to commit to the issue. So we committed to providing water for There's a local church that organizes a bunch of things.
Right.
We have a sponsor, Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola committed to providing several pallets of water on a consistent basis for X amount of months. But then not only that, I went to a community meeting and I realized that people in the community meeting, you know, you go to a meeting, people ask for water. And I'm like, you can't ask for water at the community meeting at the place that doesn't have access to water.
Right.
So another thing that we did that we've been doing ongoing is we just got a subscription for a little water cooler. And every month they bring like, you know, I'm not sure how many 5 gallons of water, but every month that church has water and it's not taking away from, you know, the water that they're giving to the community members. So that's what that story was about. And it was truly a moving, impactful story to tell. And we hope that, you know, the story got out there to some people who had not heard about it. And then they're encouraged to do something about it.
And then the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah.
That was very moving as well.
That one we had the great Dirk.
Yes, right. Dirk Nowitzki.
And Eddie Nahara. So two great Mavs legends. And the point of that conversation was the first generation American experience. And we were in a time, I think this may have been October of last year. And a lot of people know the state of the world in October of last year and the state of the world now. But we wanted to really show our fans and our communities the value that first generation Americans brought to not just Dallas and Texas, but the entire country, and how Texas, Dallas, United States, like we are a melting pot of cultures and just the value that they brought. So really it was just a story of first generation Americans who are doing well here in Dallas and about their experience of like, you know, how their parents migrated here, how their children are adapting, and how does it feel to see their culture like being lived out by all Americans. So we had, again, Dirk, we had Eddie Nahara, we had Christina, who's with the city of Dallas, and then we had other leaders, Jinwa, I'm saying her name wrong, excuse me, but she has an amazing organization, Building Borders, cooking organization, I believe. And then we had someone who was a descendant, a son of a Holocaust survivor.
Right.
His name's Mark Jacobs. And a lot of times, you know, when we think about, and we touched pretty much, you know, all these different communities. We had those who were from African descent, from AAPI descent, the Jewish descent. A lot of people don't identify Jewish people as immigrants or people who come to this country, but they definitely are.
Yes, they are.
And also the Hispanic population as well. So that was just moving, and it showed them in a time where people could have felt that the country and people didn't care about them and they didn't have a voice, that the Mavs did. And we have a slogan at the Mavs that are on the back of our craft coins and on top of our main meeting room that says, every voice matters and everyone belongs. And to me, that was us like living that out and letting people know out loud that every voice matters and everybody belongs in this space here for all of us. So I really like those two conversations. Can I do one more, Chris? I'm sorry.
Sure, go right ahead. Now, yeah, this is why I have you on, man. Come on. This is great, great information.
I'm going to do the next one because we just wrapped a shooting of the huddle, and I'm so excited for it because it's like a full circle kind of moment. But we did a huddle last week, and it's going to release the second week of December on mavs.com/the huddle. And it's over education reimagined, or actually it's called Reimagining Alternative Education. Sorry, we changed the name a couple times. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm going to make sure I get the name right.
Oh, of course. And again, the way education is going, and again, with STEM research with the kids, you know, all the different programs that they're doing, people need to be aware. And sometimes there's areas where they don't have that access. But there's a lot of kids that are like, I mean, they're little scientists right now. I mean, they know so much stuff because they're involved with innovation. In other words, they are tech support for their grandparents. I'm just going to keep it real. They know how to use all the equipment, the computers, the flat screens, the remote, and the parents and the grandparents say, can you change the channel for me? Or can you get on this line? Can you get on this app for me? Show me how the streaming service works.
Absolutely. So yeah, that conversation was called Alternative Education Reimagined. And it was rooted in what support our students need to be at Optimal Success. And we included the assistant superintendent of Dallas ISD. We had Byron Sanders again, who's a school board trustee, but also the former CEO of BigThought, who's done some amazing work in the education space. We had Adon Gonzalez. He's with Puede Network, their community organization, working with families and students. And then Michael Berry, who's with Youth Guidance, executive director of Youth Guidance. But that conversation, we took an approach of not only just talking about support, but really dialing into discipline and the school to prison pipeline. So we introduced the topic. The conversation wasn't about the school to prison pipeline, but we have to, you know, talk about what exists. And we know that there some prehistoric systems that exist that, like, you know, negatively impact Black and brown students, you know,
exactly.
And they get sent to alternative school and all these different things. So the conversation was rooted in how do we support these students and how do we build restorative practices for when we're disciplining students, they don't feel like they're a lost cause. They don't feel like, you know, they're deemed as a bad kid.
Yeah, bad kid, stereotyped and devalued and feel like, okay, I'm not going to amount to anything. Yeah.
So it was rooted in restoration, rooted in mental health and support services, what we can do with teachers, how nonprofits, how communities, how families can support, and really just letting the student know that, you know, you made a bad decision and you may have had a bad minute or a bad day, but that's not a bad life. And, you know, you're always to a point where you can, you know, have a life of like redemption and get back on the right path. And we talked through strategies that these different nonprofits were doing, like BigThought, when they partnered with the Fort Worth Alternative School. And now I think they're partnering with the Dallas Alternative School. But what they did, they used art, they used poetry, art, and things of that nature, music, producing, to really get the students to redirect, you know, and express themselves. And that worked. And then they also, you know, DISD and some other school districts, they have these reset rooms where in theory, you know, instead of ISS and you go into a room and you're writing your name down or just sitting there in silence, they have strategies and techniques to help reset the student opposed to have them sit there. Now, it does need some improvement, I'm being honest. But it's a start. And like I said, with our conversations, we aren't the experts in the space. We're experts at playing basketball and putting on a show 41 times a year. But we like to use our influence and use our influence to convene experts to talk about these type of solutions. So I hope that, you know, the people who were there, you know, come back together and they talk through how can we make these reset rooms better? How can we support students and all these different things? So I did want to bring focus kind of to that topic that's going to be coming out in December. And then you have to bring me back because then I'll talk about the next couple of topics.
Oh,
that
we're definitely going to have to bring you back because you know what? And I was just thinking about what you brought this up because it's come full circle from what you were saying earlier in this conversation about when you were an educator with DISD. And that was the one of those things that you just wish they could have done better. And now you found a way to be part of the solution. Sean, I'm going to say this again. Your fingerprints are everywhere. You are a true blessing. And yes, we will have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And happy Thanksgiving weekend because we are grateful and thankful for all the things that you do. You enjoy your rest of your weekend, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all, too.
And joining us right now is another fun friend and guest, Lucas Shipman with Happy Hill Farm, whose mission is changing the hearts and lives of children. The holidays are here. Things are happening west of Fort Worth. And I got to check in with buddy Lucas. Lucas, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on today.
I'm so glad to have you on because, first of all, before we go into the history a little bit of Happy Hill Farm, let's go ahead and tell everybody about the big Christmas luncheon that's coming up.
Yeah, we're really excited to host folks out at the farm Saturday, December the 6th. It's from 12 to 3. We're going to have a great meal, meet at the dining center, have the kids there. Choir's going to do a performance. Our market's going to be open. You can tour our campus and see our facilities, and you can register at happyhillfarm.org/luncheon. You can RSVP there.
You know, whenever we've had you on the show in the past, it was usually in the spring. There were things going around on in the spring. Can you talk about what's it like with Happy Hill Farm around the holidays, around this time of the year, the end of the year, the end of this fall semester, so to speak?
Oh, man. Well, it's a big deal for us as a school and a big deal for the kids individually. For a lot of our students, you know, they're all kids with a lot of potential coming out of low opportunity situations. And so for them, this may be their first time to celebrate the holidays, mm-hmm. their first turkey dinner, you know, their first Christmas dinner, their first time putting up a tree. And so it's really important for us to, you know, be there, be present in their lives. And then as an organization, you know, you've got kind of two things going for you at the end of the year. You've got, you want to give so that Uncle Sam won't take as much, and you got the Lord's birthday. And that's so we got both those things going for us as a Christian school. And so people love to give, and we raise a lot of money in December. Most of our budget comes in towards the last couple months of the year. And mm-hmm. so it's really important that, you know, people know we've been out here for 50 years doing this work and never taken a penny of state or federal funding. We're just totally reliant on individuals to care for these kids.
In fact, you mentioned the kids. What's always impressive, and for those who don't know, Happy Hill Farm has kids there from all over the world. Can you talk mm-hmm. about that and how, again, some of them probably never had a chance to celebrate Christmas, but then a lot of them probably never celebrated Christmas in a farmland area or at a school that's really like a farm as well. With, I mean, it's almost painting the picture of like Christmas and Bethlehem and all those days.
Yeah. It's kind of Norman Rockwell too. You know,
yeah.
we're out on 500 acres here. And so most of our kids are from poor urban environments. And so for them just to get yeah. out here, breathe clean air, you know, have wide open spaces to play, it's just a wonderful environment for kids to grow up in. Yeah.
For those who don't know, tell us about North Central Texas Academy as well and their relationship with Happy Hill Farm.
Yeah, so North Central Texas Academy is our school. It's yeah. on the campus of Happy Hill Farm. What we discovered a while back, so my grandfather Ed started Happy Hill in 1975. And back then, you know, it's kind of the hippie days, so mm-hmm. he gave it a fun name. And what we discovered when we started taking international kids, which you brought up just a minute ago, Chris, is, you know, they don't have the same view of farm as this kind of in the American mind of John Deere and mm-hmm. and apple pies and you know, company, that kind of thing.
Right.
They don't have that view. And so when we started to accept international kids, we just needed a more plain name to go on transcripts and things like that. And mm-hmm. so it was always Happy Hill Farm Academy. And so we went with North Central Texas Academy, and the international kids really like that. And so to speak on that, they're from all over the world. We've got kids from Eastern Europe, from Africa, from Central America, and they fall under the same criteria that all of our domestic kids, all of our great American kids, you know, they're mm-hmm. they're bright, talented, driven. They've got usually their thing, maybe kind of figured out that they're really good at, you know, maybe it's STEM, maybe it's a sport, but they just need opportunity. They just need doors open to them. And so that's what we do. If you drove on our campus, you know, you'd see what looks like a kind of a legacy boarding school from the Northeast, you know, very nice, mm-hmm. well-maintained, much more like a university than you'd think of a boarding school. But the difference is that we give this experience away. 94% of the kids aren't paying a penny of tuition.
And most of them wind up going to college and then graduated from college, becoming leaders in the communities and their churches, right?
Yeah. And so we've got, you know, through the years, we put pen to paper a while back, and several thousand, we're probably approaching 5,000 kids have been through the program. And yeah, we've got many teachers, business leaders, many have gone into the military. A lot of STEM degrees nowadays. And I think most importantly, just good moms and dads, you mm-hmm. know, they're changing the trajectory of their family tree. And that's what's really unique about us. You know, we don't have dormitories. They are homes. And
right.
So it's 8 boys or 8 girls in a house with resident parents. And so it's very kind of all in on the kid. We rarely ever send a kid home, dismiss a kid. When they're there, we're committed to them. They're committed to us, and we see them through. And it's life changing because it's you know, that family model
mm-hmm.
Of care for them. And so yeah, we have many go on. All of them go on to college, but many go on to have wonderful careers. And you know, they're really that first graduate in their family.
This is always impressive to me about what you're able to get done. And there's a lot of people who listen. This may be the first time they've heard about.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun. Are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
At Happy Hill Farm, can you talk about the age ranges of the kids?
Yeah, so we're a full pre-K through 12th grade school. The majority of our kids are usually 10 and up, so 10 to 18. It's incredible to see all the different ages, and through the years we've helped many sibling sets. So that's why we'll have an older kid and a younger kid, or two or three of them maybe in a family, get all the kids in the family there. And it's a diverse group. They're from all over the world, all over the country, and they get along and they learn all the important things about life and spiritual health and physical health, and get sent on their way to succeed.
How do the kids who grew up in the United States or who lived here in the United States wind up getting there? What are some of the prerequisites? Parents are sometimes wondering, how can I get my kid there?
Yeah. So most of our network that we get referrals from is, it's a big one. You can think about functioning for 50 years.
Correct.
A lot of pastors, a lot of teachers, a lot of school administrators, and then relatives of former students, of alumni, many multi-generation families. You get one family in a church, and then their cousins hear about it, and then the grandkids hear about it, and it a lot of it happens that way. And so normally what we do is we have a really long process to get a kid entered into the program, and so we have a lot of conversations with their school and their family. And what we're trying to do is just provide that opportunity. We fill in that opportunity gap. So these kids are already kind of headed down the road of success, but they're just missing some rungs on the ladder. And so we provide those through all the extracurriculars that we offer, all the different sports that we offer. And they kind of find their spot in place and find their niche in life. And that's what we're, those are the kinds of kids that we're looking for, you know, maybe getting raised by grandma, you know, or she may still be working hard, you know, maybe two parents that are, you know, having to work full time and you got kind of a latchkey kid, or maybe they're in a bad school district, a rough part of, you know, North Texas or the United States, and they just need a better education. Those are the kind of kids that we're helping.
You mentioned the extracurricular, the arts programs, the music, sports, spiritual development. The last time you were on the show, you were talking about the sports, and you got some competitive teams out there that actually played up against some schools there. You would be surprised that they can compete with. Can you talk about that just a little bit as well?
Because
that just put a big grin on my face. I was like, what? They don't know about Happy Hill?
I know. So we have a boys soccer team that it has started playing and recently got to whoop up on Nolan Catholic, which made us proud.
They're
wonderful big school there in Fort Worth. And we have a women's volleyball team that actually won state this year. And so they're back-to-back state champs.
Look
and they compete in some of these big tournaments. So what we do at the farm is we have club teams. And so they function as clubs there on the campus, which frees us up from just kind of whooping up on smaller schools, because our total enrollment is just over 100. And so if we were in a regular school league, that puts us with some pretty small private schools, and God bless them, we're just whooping on them. So we decided to create these clubs so that we could pay public schools and large private schools. And that's been a real blessing to us. We've been doing that for about 5 years and really, really enjoying it.
You know, I was just talking to some people about AI in schools. And I was wondering if Happy Hill is doing anything with artificial intelligence and AI, using it as a tool yet.
Yeah. So that's a tough one. I mean, two things. One, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
It's just going to become more and more and more prevalent in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, how it all started really in schools was negative.
Mm-hmm.
It was all centered around cheating. It was centered around test taking and having, you know, textbooks available online. So we're doing everything we can to try and shift the narrative in students' minds that, you know, this is going to be a tool that has to be used properly.
Right.
So there's a bit of a moral component. There's a bit of a spiritual reality to it, of just like when the internet first came out and we had to decide, okay, how are we going to integrate this with education? We have a lot of information at our fingertips, and a lot of bad things at our fingertips. Same deal. So we're trying to walk that tightrope right now of encouraging use as a tool, but also making sure that, you know, you're still thinking your own thoughts and writing your own feelings and doing your own work. It's a tough line to walk.
It really is. And that goes back to something else I was going to ask you about, because you brought up the internet with social media and the fact that some parts of it is the wild, wild west. What's the balance at Happy Hill where, you know, you don't want kids to run across too many bots and bullies and things like that online, but everybody has access to being online. And kids today, some of them are basically tech support because they're so savvy.
Yeah. So we have a pretty strict phone policy. It's not allowed to, you can't have it out all the time. You can never ever have it out in the schools. We actually just posted a picture the other day of
there's a lot of school
of
districts like
smiling.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, coming into the school and turning their phone in. So that's kind of the big rule number one. Rule number two, we have very, you know, monitored internet access to keep the kids safe.
Right.
So they have access to all the popular platforms, but maybe not every page on those platforms, which keeps them safe. And again, it's kind of back to that. This is not going anywhere. This is going to be a part of your life forever. The best thing we can do to bless you as a kid would be to teach you how to use a tool properly.
Exactly.
It's no different than any other tool. So that's what we're always trying to do.
Exactly. There's got to be some guardrails up there. You know what I mean? Because, again, you can't assume every kid is savvy enough to know what's real information, what's disinformation, what's misinformation, what's a bot. Yeah. You know what? You just can't assume because they know how to turn on a tablet that they know what to do with the various forms of information. So I like
that's
the way
exactly
you're doing
it. Right.
Exactly. With the music and arts programs, is there anything there you want to make sure people know about?
Oh, well, I mean, I'd love for more folks to hear our choir. We have a great choir.
And it's the holidays,
actually,
too.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
We go on a tour. And uh-oh. So, you know, we visit places of business that support us. We go to donors' homes. Mm-hmm. The first couple of weeks of December, we are all over DFW. So if you see the NCTA, the North Central Texas Academy bus, the Pioneer bus, honk, wave at us. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. The kids will probably have Santa hats on. They love it. We get to travel around and thank our supporters. And that choir is going to be at the Christmas luncheon, so we'd love for you to hear it.
That is fantastic. Again, they probably have heavenly voices, the angelic choir. They can sing all the Nutcracker songs and all the Christmas holiday songs and, you know, the songs that make you think back when you were young, right?
Absolutely. We love taking those, all the Christmas songs and spreading the cheer.
Okay, so when you were younger, and you know your dad came up with Happy Hill, how old mm-hmm. were you when he came up with that, and then when did you get involved? You told me a little bit about this, and again, it was like a great awakening for you as well. Can you tell a little bit about your story and how you got involved with Happy Hill? Because I think people love that.
Yeah, so when the farm first started, he bought the property from my great-grandfather, who was creating a housing development, and just felt God put on his heart to care for kids, and so mm-hmm. he bought 250 acres. From my great-grandfather and started it in 75. And so my dad and uncle were teenagers at that point. And so I grew up on campus. I went to school pre-K through 12th grade there, you know, had to take kind of the long road, a bit of a knucklehead like a lot of kids are.
Well, you wanted to be independent.
Yeah, you know, and you just don't understand the value of something when you're in the middle of it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I saw my family's work and hard work and all the blood, sweat, and tears put into the place and the staff and all of it, and just didn't really get it. But it was about, I would say I was in college and I started to understand, okay, this is something unique that I think God wants me to do and continue on. And fast forward, you know, 20 years later, my sister and I are both here. She's the dean of our school and does a wonderful job. She had many years of working in the public school system and a graduate of TCU, and I went to Liberty University. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was right around that time, met my wife, had my first kid, realized, you know, I think this is something that we should continue on. And I was really blessed that I got many years to work with my grandfather, who he passed in 2016, but I had a number of years that I got to travel with him and meet the donors that make all this possible. Because, you know, I said earlier in the program, we don't take any state or federal tax money. And so the fundraising part is just huge, that I get to come on shows like this and, mm-hmm. and visit with donors and share that, you know, we've been doing this good work for 50 years and not a tax burden. We don't, you know, take it from the county or the state or the federal government. The individual donors, the vast majority are individuals that give and create these scholarships for kids. And it's just amazing to see all that has been done in their life just because a couple more doors have been opened for them. It's really special.
Exactly. Lucas, it is Thanksgiving weekend, and a lot of people are feeling thankful and grateful. Do you want to shout out any of the partners or anybody that you think that, you know, have done a little bit more than just everybody else? Again, everybody's chipped in, but, you know, there's a couple of probably huge sponsors or partners, you know, you really feel grateful for in 2025.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I gotta thank the Bernard family. They've mm-hmm. been with us from the very beginning, and I just think about the legacy there. We're now into the third generation of supporter of Happy Hill Farm and their family, and that's really, really special. I'll name another wonderful donor. Mary Ardinger Stanton is such mm-hmm. a sweet lady and kind supporter of us. And we're doing a lot of work on campus right now to actually expand our student population. And she's a big part of that. So very thankful for her. And I could spend all day, you know,
we've got
so many families that are blessing us right now and just really thankful for them. But they stand out as really special supporters.
Can you talk about where people can find more information, the website and things like that? Because the website's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. So we produced a short documentary about mm-hmm. the 50-year history of the school. You know, it's a lot of stories, a lot of lives changed, and you can watch that at happyhillfarm.org/hope. That's probably the best landing page for us. You can watch the video, learn about the last 50 years, read about the current parts of the program that are active and doing well. And then, you know, you can give right there on that page. And that's a wonderful place to start.
You know, you mentioned like your story about you after you graduated and you got away from everything and you came back. You said this earlier. You have actual students who've graduated, gone to college or went home around the world, and then they come back and they wind up working there or doing something to help out, because that's just the way it is. It's almost like it's part of the family, right?
Yeah. So we've had that happen more than once. We have multiple second generation students and multiple employees that have graduated from the school. And so you're right when you say family. I mean, mm-hmm. That's kind of the heartbeat of what we're doing. When a student shows up, when a kid shows up, we're committed to them kind of forever. And, you know, we technically only are a K through 12th grade school, but we help so many of our students in college, help them get their first car. I love to network with them to get jobs. Mm-hmm. We talk about when they have their first kid and what that's like, when they get married, all the things. I mean, we walk through life together. All of our administrative staff has kids that are essentially adopted or actually adopted into their family from students that have been on campus. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. That's the point. We don't have a product. We're not just a machine with cogs in it. We're right. All about the kids. It's all about the kids and helping them and raising them up and seeing them impact the world for the better. And God has really blessed us with the number of wonderful kids and staff that we've had that have connected and are now, you know, family together.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. And the big luncheon is when? The Christmas
Saturday,
luncheon?
December the 6th. Yes. So it's coming up pretty soon. The 6th from noon to 3. And again, you can register RSVP just so we know how much food to make. happyhillfarm.org/luncheon. And it's going to be here on our campus, and you can take a tour and hear the choir that we talked about earlier. And our market is going to be open, which is a great opportunity for you to support the kids and get some Christmas gifts. And yeah, we'd love to see you out.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks, Lucas.
Thanks, Chris. I always love being on your show.
And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.